This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Therapy is an incredible tool for facing your fears and finding ways to overcome them. For me, I'm always nervous about the unknown. But sometimes the scariest thing is not facing our fears in the first place and holding ourselves back. For me, therapy has been an incredible motivating part of my life. It has helped me personally, professionally, with the podcast, learning more about myself, how to improve setting boundaries, working through problems, big and small. It has been the single best tool in my life to better my life. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Overcome your fears with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/andyscrolls today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/andyscrolls.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
It's Andy's Girls. It's episode 590, whatever. And I have re-recorded this no less than four times because every time I say you guys, I've started coughing many times over. So listen, it's going to be, as I like to say, a post-pneumonia spectacular in that I'm going to attempt to share my thoughts on Real Housewives of New York and do so with as few coughing breaks as possible, but also just give a little clarity. So thanks to all of you for your patience. I have tried to record this New York premiere deep dive a couple times and haven't been able to because of the cough. And then yesterday, unfortunately, found myself in the emergency room. And so I actually don't love to share details of what I'm dealing with medically because I'm at this point almost a little paranoid because I've been re-diagnosed so many times and I'm like, I don't want to, share info in the hopes that it'll help people if the info that I have becomes inaccurate in any way or just even for my own sake in like processing a lot. But I do have a little update. So I have talked a little on the pod about having like some tummy issues, which we weren't sure if that was connected to stuff that I'm already dealing with. And turns out it is not. So I am going to be, this is harder than I thought it was going to be. So we weren't sure what the tummy stuff was. And it turns out that there is, it's been called a couple different things by different doctors. So you could call it a mass or a large cyst, or as a doctor yesterday in the hospital called it, a tumor. And then I gave him eyes and he was like, well, you know, but not in that way. So anyway, there's this like big old motherfucker in my tum. And we're going to get it out. So I'm going to have surgery. In a couple weeks, I am not concerned about it, aside from the fact that I've never had surgery before, aside from shout out Wisdom Teeth, may your memory be a blessing. And so I did not have a great new year, Lashana Tova, but maybe I did because days after Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, there will be one for my insides when stuff will atone for existing. So I'm not concerned about it. I don't say this in any way to flag any concern, but just to kind of like explain why I haven't been able to record and It's been a very strange week because I found out about this thingamabob in Mabad while deep into pneumonia and was like, is this a symptom of the fever or is this actually happening? And I guess it's both. So truly not anything I'm sharing at all to be to say to be concerned about. And when I have more information, I will share it in, because this stuff seems, God forbid, famous last words, relatively straightforward. So that's where I am. I mean, I'm so excited to not have tummy issues after this, hopefully, fingers crossed, knock on mirror desk that I got 80% off from Pier 1 Imports. Shout out the Hayworth collection. And so that's where we are. And I promised AGs who had seen some of my sass on Instagram that I would give a little bit of clarity. And so it's not a ton of information. I actually don't have a ton of information, but I am going to kind of go through it, I think, as we all are in life. It's unfortunately sometimes life happens and it affects and fucks up every other things. And the difficulty, I think, of, you know, being a one-man band over here at AGHQ is there is sort of no understudy. So if when I go sick and literally lose my voice, as I did with pneumonia, there's not a lot I can do. So I'm planning to backlog episodes. I don't know when I'll be able to record after the surgery, which is not in any way me catastrophizing, just saying, will it be a week? Could it be sooner than that? Might it be a little later? So I'm pneumonia willing. I am going to be backlogging eps so that you guys will have new content while I am dealing with a small alien being removed from my bottom of my tum. And also a friend said, well, you have to name it. And so I thought to myself, okay, well, she's obviously a diva. She's fucking annoying. And she takes up all the air in the goddamn room. So I don't know why this is not an insult. I did think to call her Barbara Streisand. But then I realized there's just something about her I hate. So Barbara Streisand Mellencamp is the name of the very large situation in my tum that's making my life difficult, which I don't appreciate. So anyway, that's the story. That's the news. Really don't think this will have any effect on anything aside from thanking folks for their patience, because honestly, at this point, I could record 1,700 episodes except for this persistent cough. So I'm hoping really, really to catch up. I know I'm now two episodes behind in Salt Lake, two episodes behind in Orange County. When will this stop? So I am doing my level best to catch up, hopefully today and this weekend. And then you guys are just going to be sick of me more than usual because there's just going to be so much to listen to. So that's where we are. Okay, so let's talk about New York. So I have watched the New York premiere three times. First time I watched a screener, couldn't record because that fucking cough. Second time, watched a screener, followed shortly thereafter by having to go to the ER, which I'm not blaming New York for that, but I am saying, would this have happened if I was watching Orange County? Who's to say? So the first time I watched it, I was like, okay, there's maybe some stuff here. The second time I watched it, and to be honest, was in like excruciating pain. So I don't really know what I was thinking. And I just watched it a third time. And I think what I think is there is some stuff here to pick out. Now, did it change my life? No. I actually think had What's-Her-Face, who left the show after 2 weeks, whose name I literally just forgot, season one, had she not left, I actually think the season one premiere and start of the season would have been closer to the season two premiere, where there's a little bit of like, what is happening? There is some friction because now these women know each other, know how to fuck over each other and fuck with each other. But it was a little bit of like quiet. And it wasn't this kind of like crazy kinetic energy that we can expect from other franchises. And that maybe we hope to expect from New York, but is probably more reasonable or realistic to expect from, hate to say it, trigger warning, or OG New York. I was about to say Orange County because, you know, it's always top of mind, top of heart. And I think that there was something to be said for this feeling a little, it wasn't stale. It was just energetically at points quiet, where there's stuff being threaded together, but like, is it changing my life? Absolutely not. Do I expect that this weekend's Potomac premiere God help us, hopefully, God willing, we'll blow this out of the water. We should be so lucky. Yes. I think that Potomac, which I haven't yet seen, is going to be, I have the screener for, but I haven't had a chance to watch, is going to, I'm expecting it's going to be like vibrant and bright, and there's probably going to be a lot of questions about Giselle and Dr. Wendy, but I do think it's going to have specific like illustration where there is a very specific universe in Potomac. Like there's a very specific universe in Orange County. Like there's this very specific universe in Beverly Hills. Like there used to be a very specific universe in New Jersey, which is now relatively confusing. And to be honest, Atlanta is to be determined. With New York, the energy is like, okay, well, now we know these people, but what actually is this universe? I think it's still figuring itself out. I really honestly do. And there are some adjustments. And listen, here's the thing. I had a crazy 24 hours. Who hasn't at this time in life? I kind of want to cut the shit, which is, I think, what I normally do, but like get to the heart of the matter with some of this, because it's, to me, I had like sort of different feelings about people with their reintroduction than I did before. And while that's probably, while that is, P.S. guys, I've edited this out, but I've had no less than five cough breaks in the first several minutes of this episode. God bless. While I think that's probably realistic and like not, it's not like breaking news, it is just a little bit of a readjustment. And as a chump, it is interesting to me to see how much Jeff Lewis has been threaded throughout this episode. And while I am currently very behind in the Jeff Lewis archives, I have seen several episodes because there's video of his eps on the SiriusXM app. This is not an ad. But I've seen several episodes of his conversations with Erin and with Cy. And I think both of those things matter, especially because so much of the frustration seeming and like attempts at revenge were based on, allegedly based on what the clips that we saw during this episode of Jeff's conversation with Erin about Bryn. So here's the thing. If I'm going to be super fucking honest, I don't think I vibe with Bryn. There's something about her that I find incredibly manipulative. And I think she's been able to get away with it for so long. And she actually says it. She's very literal about it at the very end of the episode when she's like upset talking to her brother at that, you know, essentially welcome drinks, which is less welcoming her brother back to New York and more welcoming us into season two. When she says, "I giggle and laugh all day long. I'm not causing havoc," which is something that someone says when they're causing havoc and they're able to do it successfully by giggling and laughing all day long. And I think honestly, Cy has absolutely clocked her. When she says in one of Cy's confessionals, Cy's like, "Listen, I'm like trying to work on my temper/temperament. And I know that maybe I exploded in this moment." And so that gets camouflaged. So like the upset, I think Bryn's intention with a lot of this is to sort of kind of like have these little explosions preset, but she does it in such a way, such a friendly kind of flirty way that she's able to disguise her intentions, which I do think genuinely is causing chaos. Now, I'm not saying she's the worst person in the world. I'm just saying I think she's manipulative. To a certain extent, isn't everybody, but hers, I think, is annoying. And so what I think she's doing is trying to sort of isolate Jenna from other people in the group. Could she be jealous, or is it a combination of like jealousy versus strategy versus something else? I don't know, but I do think that there's something there with her trying to ensure that Jenna is not close with Erin and that Jenna is not close with Cy and maybe other people in the cast as well. So what she's trying to do is say like, these people are not on your team. And maybe she's lying out of her ass. Maybe she's using examples that are intentionally late, like referencing that Cy was shit talking Jenna, I think was all from stuff from season one. So why she's bringing it up now when Cy has already said, "Yeah, I sort of stereotyped you. I thought you were just going to be this like kind of cold, super rich person who wasn't being real." And so that's, yeah. So I said like shitty things about you. Why she's referencing this now, I think completely plays into Sai's explanation of events, which is like she's trying to ensure that Jenna doesn't like or trust us. Like, I think that's real. And she buries it in this like, I'm flirty, I'm funny, I'm quirky, I'm nice, like quote unquote nice versus being kind. I think Brynn is closer to the nice category than to kind. And I think a lot of it's performative. Like, sure, could some of this be related to like survival tactics and things that she's experienced? Absolutely. Could some of this be related to what a lot of people do, which is like how you're able to maybe succeed in life is sometimes a little bit of a performance. Yeah, that's absolutely possible. And she's, according to herself, been able to find a lot of great success in that, and like kudos to her for it. But also, does that mean it can't be inorganic? Like the way that she kind of attempts to, she's flirted with Jenna, she's flirted with the audience. She, I think, puts on a little bit of an act. It doesn't mean that what's behind the act isn't also good, but it just feels formulaic and fake to me. So when I'm looking at this cast, I'm like, the person to me that's sticking out the most in a way that's not entirely positive is Brynn. And I also think Brynn, I don't know that Brynn actually watched the clip of Jeff Lewis. It does not help her that the clip was shown at least twice in the episode, including the tail end of the episode, which is really when the editors are like trying to make a solid point. But the thing about Jeff Lewis is he's very similar to Howard Stern, although I think Jeff is like crueler, but he is, it's one of those shows where he says some things and he might believe them, but he's also looking to like make a little bit of a splash where he will intentionally cross lines, and it's maybe to make the guest uncomfortable in a like a fun, entertaining way. I mean, he is a very successful Bravo-leb for a reason. And we saw him do that at, you know, the BravoCon with Andy, where he's intentionally saying things to like fuck with Andy because it's fun for him, but it's also fun for us. So he will say and do things that are intentionally crossing lines. Does that mean that it's okay? No, but it does mean that if you are listening or watching his episode, you have an idea that if it's a good episode, it's going to include something that's like kind of dramatic, heightened, intentionally shitty or something else, because he is just a button pusher. And it seems like that's true to him. And does that make it okay? At points, has he crossed lines that are like not fun to listen to? Absolutely. But also it does feel like must listen to radio as a result. So when Aaron went on that episode, which I remember watching live, I remember when he was talking about Brynn, and he's done that with other people. Like, he's dragged Gina Kirschenhider across the coals for like, I don't even know how long. He did that at BravoCon, which made a lot of waves. He's done that on the radio show. I think now he's maybe okay with her, but he has said so much worse about other people than what he has said about Brynn. But on this episode, he was obviously trying to get some sort of reaction out of Aaron while still saying a thing that he has said previously, which is like, something's going on with Brynn and I think she has a sugar daddy. That wasn't the exact language that was used. We saw the exact language that was used in the smaller clip. If I remember correctly, I think it was a larger conversation, but that could be wrong. I did watch it in full when it originally aired or was posted, however you want to describe it. And Aaron is in a difficult spot at that point, because you know when you're sitting down, if you have any idea about Jeff, you know that he's going to try to push buttons and say things. So it's like, how do you deny or disagree with what he's saying without bursting the balloon? It's genuinely, it's like sitting down, if you're sitting down with Howard Stern and he's asking you questions that you think are inappropriate or that might upset a romantic partner or something else. How do you figure out a way to still continue the conversation so that it's obvious that you're like game for this, which is not just for Jeff, it's also for the people listening and watching, but also knowing, okay, I'm now a reality TV star. My co-star is probably going to find out about this. How do I kind of hedge my bets? And who knows what Aaron's actual opinion of Brynn is and of that question? Who knows how Aaron actually feels about that? But in the moment, I thought she did a reasonable, realistic job, which was like, I don't know. Brynn used to work a lot. I felt like, honestly, Aaron's answer was a little bit of a dot, dot, dot of like, I disagree with you, ... but I'm not going to push back super hard because it is also a performance. Doing these like media interviews, going on radio, going on Watch What Happens Live, it's, you have to kind of decide who you're more loyal to. Are you loyal to the audience who wants to hear an entertaining response? Are you loyal to yourself and what you actually think? Are you loyal to a co-star who might not deserve your loyalty? And also, for Brynn to like do this whole big thing, she says that Jeff said that she was a call girl, which is quite literally not what happened. I think he was intimating that she had like a sugar daddy or something. She says in response, don't talk about my money and don't speculate. Here's my thoughts on that. Then don't go on reality TV. If you go on reality TV and you're living in this like gorgeous apartment in the West Village, then you move to an even more expensive neighborhood, Gramercy, which is, if for those who don't, it's like moving from one version of New York City Disney to another. Like, it's not necessarily Disney to Epcot, but it's like one Disney to another Disney. These are extraordinarily expensive apartments to live in, neighborhoods to live in. It does not matter that like we're talking about a walk up. It's still many, many, many thousands of dollars a month in rent. So it's no joke. She is paying for a very, very high cost of living and also showing up to film and everything. Everything she's wearing, it's all a lot of fucking cash. And good for her, by the way, because with the questions that I have as a New Yorker and someone who likes to know what other people are paying for rent, which is a part of our personality type, I also want to know that about Paige DeSorbo, because Paige DeSorbo just showed off her new apartment. And I want to know what's going on there, because that thing is a fucking, she's living in a goddamn mansion somewhere in New York City. So Brynn is not the first Bravo Leb living in New York, living in an apartment that may be totally in line with her means or not. But there is something to be said for a little bit of a question of like where the Bravo checks are going to. It seems like an awful lot of them are going to housing in a way that I just hope they're not doing this to prove their like wealth or whatever to us, because I just think so much of that is an illusion in New York, as we've seen from any number of Bravo Lebs, but also high profile New Yorkers who it turns out have nothing but debt. So that's not a Brynn specific question or maybe discussion. But when you think about her last season tagline being like, don't make me mad or I'll date your dad, this is the thing that annoys me, because she gives off this like, I'm innocent, I giggle, I laugh, I live in the light, like I'm, you know, peace and love and quirky, like professionally quirky, but you're not telling us anything about your interior life. We've heard about her childhood and her family. I'm appreciative for her like filming with her brother and all that, but I'm not getting her day to day. So if she's upset about Jeff Lewis or anyone, because I know she's gotten into it with content creators who've like made jokes based on what they've seen on TV, which is a huge fucking gap in information, then that to me is more of an upset or concern that she should express at producers for not showing her work. Like, don't get mad at other people, because all we're seeing is this insanely high cost of living and we're not getting an iota of your work life, or at least haven't so far. Hopefully we will this season. But if you're mad that people are asking, I think, sort of basic, albeit absolutely judgmental, potentially misogynistic, like I understand all of that, but it's based on the fact that there's a huge fucking gap in your life that you're filming with flirty personality, and that's just not enough. As AGs know, I am spiritually mid-20s plus. And like many people, the conversation about saving and investing can feel really complicated. And for me personally, often feels like it's out of reach. Like I'm joining a conversation in the middle of it. I'm not quite sure really how to start. Which is why I am so thankful for Acorns. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for your future. You don't need a lot of money or expertise to invest with Acorns. In fact, you can get started with just your spare change. BCC, PK, and Dorit. Acorns recommends an expert-built portfolio that fits you and your money goals, then automatically invests your money for you. That's perfect for me and my life. I want to make positive change, but so often it's hard to figure out where to begin. Acorns does that work. I always felt like in order to start investing, I needed to have one big lump sum, but Acorns takes away that kind of stress. It's small, important changes that you can make in your life for your future. Head to acorns.com/andyscrolls or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/andyscrolls. As AGs know, I am spiritually mid-20s plus. And you know who else is? My dear, close, personal best friend and also deity, Jennifer Lopez. J-Lo is actually the reason that Google launched Google Images, because of that infamous Versace dress. And she's still, 20 years later, more sought after than ever before. With skin like hers, it's not a surprise. Love don't cost it a thing. But I don't want to continue to wait for tonight. Whoa. And thanks to J-Lo Beauty, we can glow right along with her. Get that J-Lo glow for yourself with J-Lo Beauty's Deluxe Kit, the one-and-done skincare solution clinically proven to tighten and lift for instant, long-lasting results. And much like my dear best friend, Jen, I absolutely agree. My personal favorite is J-Lo's Limitless Glow face mask. It is so soothing, easy to apply, cleansed my skin, had the mask on, and truly was having a spa night at home. So if you're tired of trying to crack your own skincare code, try J-Lo Beauty for 60 days. If you're not completely satisfied, just return the bottles, even if empty, and get your money back. Want that J-Lo glow? Head to jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls and get a special gift of 4 free masks for listeners of Andy Scrolls. Head to jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls for 4 free masks and free shipping today. That's jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls. Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build your own perfect clothes with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. I am so thankful to Armoire because I was in a genuine pickle last weekend. I was rushing to New Jersey, shout out NJ, the Garden State, not hunting for new housewives, but going to a friend's baby shower, and I had literally nothing to wear. So thank goodness for Armoire. I opened my bag from Armoire, grabbed this beautiful, bright lime green Sachin and Bobby midi dress, and it fit like a glove, and it saved me all of that extra stress. There are so many benefits to Armoire. You always have something new to wear without the hassle and closet clutter. It's sustainable. You no longer have to feel bad about only wearing an outfit once, and Armoire is women-founded and women-led. Right now, AGs can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/andyscrolls. That is armoire.style, armoire.style/andyscrolls to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. And also, it will never not make me laugh. This is the episode of Double Negatives. That in response to this at one point, I think she did this on social. Was it in an interview or on social? Where she's like, here's what I do. I work in like corporate communications, and these are the things I'm so proud of accomplishing in my life. And like, she has every right to be proud. But one of her prime examples was like, I'm so proud of the work I did, you know, like supporting BP after the oil spill. And I will never not laugh about that, because there's just something about like, oh my God, Bryn, like, I'm so happy for you. Congratulations on the oil spill and the massive horror show that that was for the environment and a variety of other factors. It was a big moment in your professional life. And it was just so funny to me that she was like, this was an iconic moment. I don't know. There was just something about it where I was like, Bryn, go off, queen. Like, you do you. But we want to see more of that. Like, I don't think it's the fault of, deeply intentionally pointed and, yeah, insulting questions that Jeff Lewis can ask. Absolutely. She has every right to be upset about it. But also, it's a conversation she is not helping, nor is the show, by like having very pointed, specific taglines, and also her personality and the fact that she is not showing us a nuanced personality type while expecting us to respect her and just have faith that it exists. That's not how reality TV works. That's not how Bravo works. And also, she's just plain fucking wrong about what Jeff actually said. She might not be wrong about aspects of what he was intimating, but yeah, he wasn't calling her a call girl. He wasn't calling her a sex worker. He was saying, maybe you have a sugar daddy. And that's where I was super appreciative for Jessel being like, I would love to have one. Sign me up. Because also, for someone who has a big fucking sense of humor, I mean, I get why she was upset. I get why she felt disrespected, but I also felt like she was using it as an excuse to fuck up Aaron. Because the next part of this is Aaron, I guess, finding out that she had had some sort of like day in the Hamptons with Jenna fucking Lyons, which we should all be so lucky, by the way, in her $100 billion, $1,000,000,000 old phenomenal car. Car breaks down, because of course it does. Those cars are like bajillions of dollars and they work for about a second a year. And I guess Aaron has to call a $250 Uber, which, sidebar, I would be annoyed by that. I would be annoyed if I called an Uber and my friend did not offer to like pay for half. And I think it's not because Jenna doesn't have it, obviously. She's one of the richest housewives of any housewife on a franchise because her money is real, or at least appears to be. I have no reason to distrust it or not believe it, nor, I'm sure, does Aaron. And so Aaron said some sort of, I mean, in Aaron's words, I think she said, like, I'm a storyteller, which did make me laugh because that was just a funny thing to say. But in Erin's explanation, she's like, this person has all this money, but like can't remember to pay me back for an Uber. I mean, did you send her a Venmo? I don't know how this works for people who have a lot of money and access. Like, do you follow up with them and say, hey, do you want to kick in for that Uber that I had to do? Or do you just expect that they will remember? And if they don't, which probably is a sign of Jenna's wealth, honestly, that she like forgets these things, because for her it's kind of a nothing burger. I don't know quite how to like receive the fact that she forgot, except to say I'm sure she just genuinely plainly forgot. I don't know if Aaron followed up with her. Aaron was obviously annoyed at the fact that she had to spend $200 or $250. Because I also, when a housewife tells me they're annoyed about having to spend a certain amount of money, I'm like, it's never that amount of money. So let's take off 20%. So like around $200-ish. Do I believe she was genuinely annoyed by that? Yes. Do I think she made some sort of like one-off comment of like, Jenna has all this money and she can't, you know, remember to pay for $250 Uber. She has all this money and we're in this bajillion dollar car and it breaks down. I have to pay for an Uber. Yeah, she, I'm sure, said something like that. Do I think that Aaron ever said that Jenna is poor and that's why she didn't pay Aaron back? No, not for a single fucking second. And the fact that Brynn is so in and is like, no. And when she said this, she wasn't even making a joke. When you clearly say that someone was being intentionally bitchy and catty, I mean, do I believe that Aaron could say that about anything else? 100%. But you can't say that about Jenna's wealth. I don't think Aaron thinks that. I think she could be bitchy about a variety of other things, but you cannot look me dead in the eye, fully serious, and say Aaron was gossiping that Jenna doesn't have real money because she forgot to pay for this Uber. I just don't believe it. It's not realistic. It's not in line with Aaron. She can be so bitchy about so much other stuff that can make her potentially unlikable, but not this. And that's one of those examples of like, it's so clear to me that Brynn is being manipulative and is doing this for revenge because of Jeff Lewis. I think she just bit off more than she could chew. And also, kudos, but I am slightly annoyed that Jenna, after filming with Jessel and Jenna, after filming with Jessel and Brynn, called Aaron to be like, listen, I just want to let you know we shot this scene. We're talking about you. I'm not participating in this. I don't want you know, you to think that I'm being manipulative in any way. There's a part of me that's like, good for you. Like, it shows that you're a real person who understand that and understands this, but also like, don't do that. Let her find out on her own. A part of living in the bubble is not intentionally bursting it as often as possible because you're concerned that people will dislike you. Like, a part of being a Real Housewife, spoiler alert to some of the people in this cast, some know it now much more than others, is being considered unlikable. But Jenna, I think, is straddling those worlds also because she was truly America's sweetheart her first season, which is very difficult. Often your second, it is a little bit of the second season curse. I think Jenna, to her credit, will do a better job this season of being in the ensemble than she was the first season. I don't think people are going to want to isolate her. The flip side of that is maybe they will give her too much credit than maybe she deserves at points, but we'll see. I think for Jenna and Jessel, who I think were breakouts for different reasons season one, in some ways as a counter or backlash to like people disliking Aaron and Cy, I think that they're a better fit as an ensemble. I actually think Jessel is a better fit as like a genuinely beta character who like says and does things where it's like, okay, like the shtick is like, you know, you're married to this guy and he has a different idea of how life should be lived than you do. And you don't know what the MTA is and you've never been on a subway, kajus. And he likes to go to places that you might not consider like a pristine, wonderful Saturday night. And that's kind of like the fun of it, of seeing a little bit of friction and color in your dynamic. I think we get a lot of that from Jessel, and hopefully we'll also get some humanity there too, because I think she can err on the side of being, excuse me, of being a little bit of a caricature. But, you know, she also had a solid premiere, and I think the rest of the season will show that she is, I think, a solid ensemble member. I really do. But anyway, back to Brynn. So, because I just can't. I think she genuinely is, as we've seen from this episode, playing into some of Jenna's fears about being isolated and disliked, maybe as a little bit of a remix of season one. And she's kind of breadcrumbing. She's referencing things that Cy said about her a while ago, things that she's intentionally trying to prove are shitty or mean or derogatory that are being said by Aaron that I really genuinely think are nothing burgers. And she's caught, I think, a little bit. The end of the first episode is like, yeah, we see you. We see who you are. And I think she's probably going to be doing a little bit of extra work to prove these people wrong. But I also think she's going to likely continue to prove them right. And I don't know. I just think she's kind of tired. It's like, I get it. I get this personality type. But also you're fighting so hard to say that people picking up on cues and clues that you're leaving are entirely out of pocket. And I just think that's kind of honestly a little bit full of shit. I really genuinely do. So, you know, that gets you a little bit of info on the Brynn and Aaron of it all. This might seem completely out of pocket, but Cy has also been a frequent guest on Jeff Lewis Live. So when she started defending Jeff and Aaron at the end of the episode, I was like, oh, you're doing this because she certainly agrees, I think, with what she's saying, but also because she has developed a relationship with Jeff. And this is one of those things where I really appreciate watching and listening to those episodes, because I understood Cy more as a result of listening to her long form, where it's like when I'm listening to her share stories for an hour, I hate her less. And I certainly did not like her first season, but I understood her a lot better in the hiatus when I saw her guesting on radio, honestly, because I was like, oh, okay, she's like interesting, funny. She just needs a little bit of space. And she had a bad first season. So when she's entering season two and she's like, I'm in therapy, I'm finding myself, I'm finding new ways to communicate, could that be seen as a reaction to the fact that she was like loathed by a big part of the audience, including many people, certainly, I'm sure myself included, at points, who did not really feel like she deserved a return season two? Yeah, that's entirely possible. Like, people do things and work on themselves for a variety of reasons. And it's not typically just because I just want to. Like, there could be a factor there. Maybe the factor she felt misunderstood, and maybe she felt like she was misunderstanding herself. But also, I think it's working. Like, I really genuinely vibed with Sai this episode. I watched her. I watched her reactions to things. I agreed with her opinions on things. I felt like she was seeing stuff really clearly. I actually think she was communicating really well. When she called, what did she call Brandon at the end of the episode? She was like, "You're the devil" or something. Listen, I mean, I'm not totally disagreeing. I just really genuinely appreciated her. And I was like, I think we're going to see a different side of her. And also referencing that shitty text of what she had said in a derogatory way, I think about Pavitt, what Bryn was referencing at the end of the episode was a shitty thing that Sai said, but it was also something that she had said again the first season. And I think I saw her explaining it on Instagram and being like, yeah, this is something that I sent in a group text that included Jessel. So it's not like I'm talking about Pavitt behind his back. I'm saying this directly to Jessel. And was I being a dick? 1000%. But you're referencing stuff like they just happened as a way to show that I'm this terrible person, when it's like, no, I said shitty things to people, maybe because I didn't fully understand them or know them, but I said it to their face. And so with that, again, I'm like, who is the person who's like the Oz behind all of this? Like, who's the wizard behind all of this, who's like creating the formula for reasons why people should dislike each other and pulling stuff out of their pocket in a very, very untimely manner? It's Bryn. And if people like Bryn and they're watching the show and they're like, I think her professional cutesy is adorable, mazel tov. That's great. You'll get that energy from her probably until the time in which she's no longer on the show. I think she thought she was Heather Gay season one. I don't think she was. Like, Heather Gay was attractive to a lot of us as a housewife because we felt connected to her. There was like something about her energy that felt real. I don't think that Bryn's energy has ever felt real. I do think it has felt interesting, and that's a good thing. Do I think she deserves to be on the show? 100%. But do I think that she's like this like epitome of truth and kindness and just joking with nothing underneath that? No, we're too smart for that. She should be, I think, maybe, and maybe she will, prouder of being a more nuanced, complicated person than the stereotype she's trying to present this of like a giggle factory. I think there's more to Bryn, spoiler alert, than that. We know that. She just doesn't want us to maybe understand it, or she doesn't want herself to understand it, but I would argue she probably does understand it. So let's see what happens with Bryn. She honestly was taking up a lot of the room in my head. Speaking of room in my head, well, it's not taken up a lot. I don't really understand what's happening with Aaron and Abe. The first 60 times I watched this episode, I watched them at Serendipity, which is a very well-known sort of like kiddie family restaurant. When I used to come to New York to visit with, you know, go on day trips with my mom, shout out, excuse me, shout out the Tobes. We would go to Serendipity. I would get a frozen hot chocolate. The look of shock and horror in my spirit when they ordered a spiked frozen hot chocolate. Why would you desecrate a delicious frozen hot chocolate dessert by adding alcohol? I will simply not understand. Although, shout out to my childhood dear friend Erica Warren. At one point in high school, we used frozen hot chocolate mix that I had at my house that we had brought back from a trip, and we did add probably 20-year-old godforsaken liquor or something that we found to it and destroyed it. We destroyed that beautiful, pure dessert by experimenting as teenagers, which we never did again because it tasted so fucking bad. So, spoiler alert, when you have a great dessert, don't add alcohol. Keep it as it's meant to be, as God intended, which is a mix of frozen hot chocolate and various chemicals and some dairy on top. Okay, just a little bit of a whipped drink. I actually was Googling while watching the premiere episode, while watching the initial screener, and was like looking to see if that mix is still sold online, because they don't have a vegan version of it. But, you know, life is also tough. And sometimes a gal just needs a giant frozen hot chocolate to get through the day. And it is fucking delicious. I haven't had it in a long time, but it is worth the probably 3-hour wait if that place is still as busy as it once was. So Aaron and Abe are at Serendipity having a bastardized version of a frozen hot chocolate. They've just ruined it with, God forbid, whatever alcohol they put inside. Anyway, so he makes some like fakakta comment about, they're talking about, they moved from Tribeca to the Upper West Side. They're renting, which no one's mentioning. And I guess maybe they're looking at renting a townhouse or buying a townhouse, which is a big fucking deal. Like, that is certainly a dream for many people, that you like live in New York and live in a townhouse. Like, that's absolutely, I mean, may its memory be a blessing, Sonia's, but like maybe not that one, but others certainly are an absolute like dream. And he makes some comment about, we can look at art and get some mushrooms and stare at the ceiling for hours or some shit. And she gets incredibly offended by that. I was so confused. I was, the flashback of her essentially saying exactly that, except not using the specific word shrooms, and a throwback with Jenna fucking Lyons certainly didn't help her case. But I was so confused as to why she was so upset. And then she says like, and you're so fucking dumb or something. I don't understand what's happening. So the first several times I watched this episode, I actually thought this is on the up and up. There was something about it that felt incredibly unnatural. The switch to, you know, his confessional mentioning that something's going on and her confessional being like, I'm not going to talk about it. We're not talking about that right now. I'm not talking about this on camera. I was like, is this real? Like, were we watching real? Because it just felt like such a switch to like cold dangling the carrot, which is, I guess, what happens when someone's asking you a question, you don't want to answer it. Like, it might not be manipulative, but it also could be, where I'm just thinking like, are we borrowing from the playbook of after your first season, or sometimes during your first season, we get to see that something big is happening in your marriage, and then it's like a huge shocking reveal. We know from the season long trailer, like the full season trailer, that obviously she's very upset. She's like crying about something going on, I believe, with her and Abe in conversation with Bryn. I have no idea what that is. I'm not getting the feeling that it has anything to do with like fidelity, as in he's stepping out or cheating or something. I don't know if it has something to do with like business stuff, money stuff. I don't know what else it could be, but I have to be honest that the first several times I watched this episode, I was like, this doesn't feel real to me. And then the most recent time I watched it, I was like, okay, well, it's not really about does it feel real to me. It's about does it feel real to them? And maybe there is something going on, but I can't figure it out. There was just something about it where I'm like, this doesn't pass the smell test for me. Something about this feels off. And maybe the reason it feels off is because we don't have the information yet. Like, maybe it could just be as simple as that something is going on. And because we don't have the information, it might feel sort of stilted, but it just felt a little performative, I have to say. But also, if she's just so quickly going to be like, are you dumb? I mean, that's not great. It's probably not a great explanation. And also, we've been on we've watched this show for so many years, even putting aside the flashback to her making the same exact joke without using the word mushrooms, which I took as like, maybe they do shrooms or don't. It's truly not a big deal. It was giving me a little Kyle Richards in Amsterdam energy of like, I'm not going to have a space cake. How dare you? And how dare you, Brandy, say that I've ever smoked pot. You can't say that on camera. I'm a mom. Like, it gave me a little of this like extreme upset that like, maybe it's because she touched shrooms and doesn't want people to know, but also she already made comments about like tripping out previously. And I don't think anybody cares. Maybe I don't know. She's in a profession, meaning reality TV, where this is not in the top 100th biggest oops reveal. And I get a feeling about Erin similar to Kyle, where I'm like, I think she's a lot more chill in her personal life than she maybe allows herself to be right now, where she's coming across as a little cooler or colder than I think she is. Not to say she's not that at all, but I think she's I think a little bit more relaxed, at least when it comes to shrooms. I think if Jenna or someone else had said that, would she have been annoyed? I don't think as much as she was so obviously when Abe meant it, which maybe it's because she didn't want him to say it on camera, because she didn't want him to say it, because maybe they are going through some stuff and she has a much lower bar of tolerance for him than she does for other people. And she does for like making humorous jokes. I don't know. And maybe this is just people who've been married for a long time who are just getting on each other's nerves. There's that too. I actually find that very helpful to watch, because I'm like, I don't love when people come into the picture and it's bickering nonstop. And I'm thinking, like, why are you with each other? I feel like you do not like each other. If this is your version of marriage, oy vey. There's a version of that we've seen. There's a version of like happy and perfect couple forever and ever, amen, a la honestly Kyle and Mo. Then there's a version of like, we're real people going through stuff. Sometimes we have highs and lows, and it's just a little bit of a disservice, I think, to them if we meet these people when they're in the middle of a low, because we don't know if that's regular marital energy for them, or if they're just going through a period like all people do in life, in relationships, some that last for longer than others, where you're just kind of going through shit and trying to figure out how to navigate all of it. I don't know. I guess I'm slightly curious about what's going on, but I have to be perfectly honest. It's not like I'm, knocking at the door being like, oh my God, I can't continue going on with life until I find out this deep, wild series of events or truth or something between Abe and Aaron. It's not taking up a second more of my time. Apologies. Maybe that's a compliment, where I'm like, I don't think anything super insane is happening, but we'll see. Normalize changing your mind based on new information. The new information is going to be, I'm sure, an upcoming episode.
I started taking Hormone Harmony because for me, that time of the month feels like it became the entire month, dealing with cravings, bloating, not feeling like myself. Well, now it's easier to manage PMS and menopause with Hormone Harmony. My number one, supporting hormonal balance and regulation. Hormone Harmony also helps relieve symptoms of menopause, improve sleep quality, relieves hot flashes and mood swings. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It is zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews, and there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code ANDYSCIRLS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code ANDYSCIRLS for 15% off today. Much like Jennifer Aiden on her last appearance on Watch What Happens Live, and I do mean last, when it comes to summer, I need to keep hydrated, and that's why I love Fiji water. Jen's thirst might not ever be quenched, but with Fiji water, mine always is. Fiji water is Earth's finest water. Unlike the other two top premium bottled water brands, Fiji water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. Fiji water has more than double the electrolytes as the other two top premium bottled water brands, giving it its signature soft, smooth taste. And that's why Fiji water is the number one premium imported bottled water brand in the U.S. And P.S., Fiji water has a perfectly balanced 7.7 pH. Get stocked up on Fiji water this summer and visit your local retailer to pick up some today. Alexis Bellino, imagine how much better her season could have gone if she had just simply quenched that thirst. And my recommendation? It's not just water, it's Fiji water. There are so many moments that make up a year. The big moments and milestones, birthdays, anniversaries, when Shan came to the clawfish. And then there are the small moments, the slow morning spent making a decadent breakfast, running to a grocery store to get 9 lemons to put in a bowl. All of these moments come together to create our year. And in the end, create our life. Artifact Uprising wants to help you preserve your meaningful moments this holiday season. Whether you want to say, I love you with the perfect gift, display favorite memories in your home, or connect with loved ones throughout the year, BCC Shan, they have a product you can personalize. Artifact Uprising is a Colorado-based company that creates premium quality, customizable photo goods for your digital photos. I just ordered a few photo books with Artifact Uprising, a hardcover travel photo book in this gorgeous shade of Pacific blue, which is perfect for the credenza in my living room, devoted to my first ever trip to Paris, and a photo book in midnight blue, one for myself and for my family. Moments from my childhood, my parents spending time together, it is going to be the perfect gift for Tobes and Chard. This is something incredibly special that will keep us connected. Artifact Uprising makes it easy to tell your story. Through the end of the year, AGs can give Artifact Uprising a try and get 20% off for new customers or 15% off if you've purchased before. Just visit artifactuprising.com and use code AndysGirls through December 31.
I do have to note, I guess, two new characters to the cast, both of which gave me extreme, immediate, instinctive responses. First off, I am obsessed with Raquel. I think she was excellent casting. I couldn't get a sense of her in like extraordinarily limited sort of social media vid style interviews of what her energy would be, but I love it. I think she was exactly right casting. There's something about her where I'm like, this is a real fucking person. And I genuinely think she's going to be honest. And honest to me currently means I think she's very interesting, but I don't think she's going to be the person trying to make herself more interesting for television. I just think she genuinely is interesting. I also love and am obsessed with her energy with her fiance, whose name I believe is Mel. I love them together. I loved Mel's energy. I think they balance each other out really well. I'm very I'm very curious about the like sort of a little bit of breadcrumbs that she left of like, when we got together, not everybody was happy. It was a little bit of a scandal. I want to hear more about that. I don't want to hear it on Watch What Happens. I do want to hear it on a reunion or more long form episode. Like, I want her to sit down and be able to really share with us and not have it be, you know, forced into a 30 minute kind of soundbite. But I think she's excellent so far. There's just something about her where I'm like, this is the energy that I want. And I also feel like she gives me like genuine New Yorker energy in a way that I really truly appreciate. And she also just, she fucking reeks of cool. She just is one of those people. There are just some people who are born into this universe where I'm like, you're just meant to be in goddamn New York City, where she just feels really cool and unique and individual. And I'm just here for it. I'm really, truly here for it. And also her career is really interesting because I just look at her, I'm like, has to be a model. Like, she has to be doing something with modeling, which she is, but her work in art is really fascinating. And I hope, I'm sure that we will see more of her. I think Andy made a comment that she's really good casting. And I think that's obvious when we see her. She just feels like a really good fit. Compare that to, I guess, the queen of Nordstrom Rack, which is not an insult because she has a huge, I guess, phenomenal, successful career. But I am not into Becky Minkoff. And I haven't been, and I don't love the recent kind of press clippings, which are not really benefiting her in any way, where she was not joking about wanting Jenna, suggesting to Jenna that they get into like a cute little girl fight about fashion on camera, and Jenna fucking Lyons being like, no, thank you. That's not what this show is about fake fighting about fashion. And if you want it to be, you're going to flop. I don't like her even a little bit. I don't think she gives me a little, I was thinking about this. She gives me a little of like some combination of Dr. Jen energy. Dr. Jen, not current Jen. Dr. Jen energy mixed with like Marissa Zanuck. Remember Marissa Zanuck from her one season flop on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills? And she was so desperate to be on this show as her mom was. And it was just this kind of uncomfortable energy because it was very apparent that she did not fit. With Becky Minkoff, which is feels like I'm trying to make fun of her, but that's just genuinely the name that was presented to me, Becky Minkoff. Becky, and shout out to all the Beckys there. There's so many amazing Beckys out in the universe. I don't know that Becky Minkoff is one of them. She just feels like she doesn't fit. It feels like they cast a designer name and not a person, where it's like she's going to be interesting because a lot of people know about her bags versus is she actually interesting, or is she just there to be like, wow, this is wild. I'm on television. People are fighting. I don't know. Maybe it was just a weird introduction. She's someone I have almost no curiosity about. I have to be honest. I just feel like I'm not going to be given a lot. She seems to be someone who is possibly relatively withholding. The thing that Psy said about her that then went niche viral during a commercial break in during Jeff Lewis Live, the guests are told your everything when you sit down in the recording studio, everything's recording, including commercial breaks. And she forgot about that or said something anyway. She said something that was really not insulting, but it was essentially like, this is not verbatim, but essentially like, how's Rebecca Minkoff doing? Well, she's just too nice. I think that is what we're going to get from Becky Minkoff, is like not a lot of layers, not a lot of nuance, quote unquote, nice. Like at least Brynn's nice is at points something, you know, sometimes it's hiding from something else, either maybe negative behaviors or just fear of seeming more nuanced, or just this has worked for her for so long, why not maintain it? With Becky, I just kind of feel like, oh, I think you're just not interesting in any way. I really truly have no curiosity about her. I don't think she understands what she's doing there. I think she's probably proud of that, of like, I don't get it. Look at me having fun. I'm doing something new. It's some sort of warped version of Yolanda's first season, which is no disrespect to Yolanda, but like, or actually better example, probably Kelly Bensimone, of like, I don't even know what this is, but I'm cool. Becky Minkoff is not close to cool, but she is like this fun, nice person that I think is probably going to dig into the like, this is all so wild. And that to me gets really tiring quickly. I would like to see other people in the cast eat her alive, but I don't think that's going to happen, probably because she is, quote unquote, too nice. But she just kind of gave me that energy a little bit. I have to be honest, where I was like, I don't know. I don't know about you so much. I'm not quite sure I vibe with you. And I don't know how much of that is the fact that you are not going to tell us a single fucking thing about Scientology. Although if you want to see more about that or learn more about that, you can Google her father. And so, you know, let's see. Let's see how Becky does. She might do great. Do I think that's going to happen? Probably not. I have better hopes about anybody else in the cast than I do her. And also, what's happening with Uba and Brynn, and do I care? I don't think I do. And I also have no idea what happened that leads up to this whole like breaking the fourth wall introduction to the premiere of they're doing their like press, getting ready for their opening shots days after production ended, and we're led to believe something crazy happened between Brynn and Uba. My guess is I don't even know if I'm gonna side with Uba in terms of like exactly what happened, but I feel spiritually that I will regardless. I just think Uba, sometimes her responses to things maybe aren't great, and that's something that Brynn gets to exacerbate, of like, well, I did something shitty, but you responded in a way that was worse, so we get to focus on the worst. I feel like I'm probably going to be much more connected to Uba, who I genuinely like. And I also appreciate she's dating this like financier, I think, guy or whatever. He's extremely attractive. And I'm appreciative that episode one, we're getting into it. She's not hiding him. He's, I hope, gonna be filming, maybe, I don't know. But regardless, at least we like see pictures of him. And I feel like he's supportive of her. And I'm sure she's supportive of him. And I feel really good about it. I don't know, I just like see, you know, her doing social with this guy. And I'm like, oh God, they're a goddamn beautiful couple. And I hope we get more of Uba's life this season. And again, this whole like dress barn insult and all this shit, I don't know. Brynn has this, you know, she puts out these little digs of like Becky Minkoff, Nordstrom Rack, which is true. I think she's covered or carried at Nordstrom Rack, and like Uba doing Dress Barn. And it's like, okay, well, Uba's being honest and forthright about her career and doing catalog modeling or whatever else. You can make a significant income. She seems, I'm sure, I believe, right, very successful. And also she has Uba hot, everything else. So I don't know. throwing stones at houses and birds and whatnot. That's kind of the reminder. Also, why was the pigeon? We're never going to understand why the pigeon was a big part of the trailer. I don't think pigeons are going to be a big part of the season itself. I think that's just one of those fun little accessories of living in New York. I prefer a pigeon over a rat. I'll say that much. So, you know, there we are. I'm curious for your thoughts. Comment on the little social graphic for this episode on IG and let me know. I don't think it changed anybody's life. I don't think it was going to. I think New York is still finding its footing, but I do genuinely think that there were some interesting things. And if I'm like ranking in my head, I mean, Orange County to me reigns supreme, although I am behind. I will catch up and share those episodes once I have. Salt Lake City, obviously iconic. Potomac on the horizon. I think we're going to have a fun season. Well deserved. Necessary, in fact. And then New York is number four. It's not bad to be fourth. I don't know what the 4-year anniversary gift is, but like, you know, it's going to be a season 3. So mazel tov. Here's to many more. Am I still missing OG New York? Duh. I have, you know, a memory that makes me yearn for the days of our beloved legacy cast. But there's still stuff here to talk about with New York. I don't think it flopped. And you know what? That's a miracle, because they took a big fucking risk in totally redoing this goddamn show. I mean, allegedly it's 15, but we all know it's also 2. And so this season, you know, there's some stuff here, honestly. And I came away with it with different, maybe complicated feels too optimistic, different feelings about people in the cast. Like Psy, I was vibing with the first episode. That was a huge fucking surprise. There's just some kind of like different energies that I'm curious about. Aaron and Abe, I don't really know. ... I guess. Uba, need more of her. Bryn, need less. Or more if people are calling her out, or even or something. Who else is there? Jessel, more of like background right now. Not a bad thing. I think she's a strong ensemble member. Jenna fucking Lyons, girlfriend, won't film, which is annoying. But her mom, who reminded me an awful lot of Anne Mira, will film. And I do like that energy. I also find it fascinating that we're led to believe that this is the first time Jenna is meeting her girlfriend, but maybe wife, because she sort of like intimated on Watch What Happens that they maybe secretly got married, which TBD. I would like her wife to appear on camera at some point. I know that like it's a boundary, but also Jenna's on reality TV. It would be great if her partner, who might be her fiance or her wife, it would be great if she appeared once just for us as like a charitable and as a write-off, as a spiritual write-off. Would love it. But I also get it. She doesn't want to be on TV, but I don't get it because I want her to. But great that Anne Mira, also known as I think Nancy, is appearing maybe the first trip that she's meeting her possible daughter-in-law and she's appearing on camera. Love that. Strongly encourage it. Truly don't remember if her name is Nancy. She's always going to be Anne Mira to me, and love that. Super cute. And I like this little setup of like Jenna getting rid of clothing, because we know that she has a Stoop sale later on in the season, which I attended, except I couldn't get inside and then died of heat stroke because it was 9,000 degrees. So anyway, good times. Solid-ish. Can't even say that, honestly. The premiere happened. And I love that for her. And I think that we will have more to come. It really didn't flop for me. That is a compliment, genuinely. I thought there was some interesting stuff. It was longer than it needed to be. Every single time I watched it, I was like, why is this so fucking long? And I didn't have even a little bit of interest in watching the post-premiere Watch What Happens, but I hope to. But God, Lord help us. I really need to catch up on Orange County, and I will be watching Tamara's Watch What Happens. And I think that Ryan comment someone told me that it has since been edited out of the episode. So I'll find out. Although I guess I'll watch the original on YouTube TV. So we'll see. Can't wait to catch up on Orange County. Can't wait to catch up on Salt Lake. Thanks again to everyone for their patience. Shout out Barbara Streisand Mellencamp. Taken up a lot of vital space in my insides. My organs would like that room back. Thank you so much. I live in New York. Do not have an illegal subletter inside your body unless it is paying you a check. And so there we are. Follow me on Instagram at Dame Galley. I recorded 3 Patreon episodes, some pneumonia spectaculars that went up this week. Signing up for Patreon, the number one way to support the pod. You get those exclusive bonus episodes at patreon.com/Andy's Girls. And thanks again to all of you for your patience with these episodes. Bear with me. The next couple weeks are going to be interesting, but I'm very, very excited to get back into things. And I had, I think, 7 cough breaks that will be edited out of this episode. So if there is an errant cough here or there, thank you for dealing with it. And also to anyone like myself who has, I always fuck up the pronunciation, and I just fucked up the pronunciation, misophonia. Just want to thank you for your patience, because I did Andy Cohen style have a cough drop in my mouth for 90% of this recording. All right, guys. Hope you had a great whatever day of the week it is. Recording this Friday afternoon, which is hopefully when you also hear it as soon as I edit out those goths. And I will chat with you soon. Okay, bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.